Friends, I have the privilege of being the one who initiates World Day of Prayer every year. This year is the 28th annual World Day of Prayer, and I've been involved in the last four, and it's been quite a remarkable, really to me, an evolutionary task to be able to think ahead. We start almost a year ahead to think about what is up in the universe, right? And what will support individuals in understanding more of their divine nature and in holding the world in prayer. What's going on in the world? Well, we couldn't possibly have known almost a year ago what this year would look like, but we sure knew where we were sitting last year. And gosh, we sort of continue in that train of experience, wouldn't you say? But I'm so grateful to know that all is well with my soul, especially when times are tough, when things are happening that seem inexplicable to me. So I'm hoping that that's the case for you. What I'd like to do is introduce some of the questions that arise for me and that I have actually put out as part of World Day of Prayer. We call them reflection questions on this theme. And I'd like to speak about each one and kind of invite you into reflection on what does it mean, all is well with my soul, right? So Charles Fillmore said, we can have fullness of life by realizing that we live in a sea of abundant, omnipresent, eternal life. And by refusing to allow any thought to come in that stops the consciousness of the universal life flow. That is a big demand that Fillmore places on consciousness, on our choice of consciousness, right? And so the question that formed from my reading of that was this: when I realize that my thoughts are running on automatic, how can I harness the power of mind, of my mind, right? Which affirmations or thoughts of truth can lift me from my human condition into my spiritual authority? Well, my temptation always when I'm posed a question is to try to answer it really quickly. I mean, the answers start to float up almost automatically, right? And my temptation is to just answer it, to just rattle off all the common spiritual practices, because I know I use meditation, I use journaling, I use affirmation, I use prayer, right? I use all these spiritual tools. And so it's just easy to say, well, that's what I do, and be done with it. But first, I like to ask some further questions. Like, for example, how could it be possible to realize abundance when I'm experiencing a condition of lack, right? Maybe lack of money, lack of health, lack of relationship, lack of satisfaction. And then also, well, wait a minute, what is the power of my mind, truthfully, right? So this idea of always just disciplining our thoughts, as Fillmore said, right? Refusing to allow any negative thought, that a thought that would stop the flow. That's often misinterpreted in unity. It's often, we often, if we read that statement just as it is, it often leads to spiritual bypass. And what we know about spiritual bypass, it's ignoring our feelings. It's pretending that what is happening, materially isn't happening. And it's failing to do what may be necessary materially, right? What maybe I need to be responsive to something that's going on. And I could fail to do that if I only go to that ultimate truth. So to me, there's a question in there about what else do I do? And we're going to get to that in a minute. But what I love also that Fillmore said is that the nature of our mind, the power of our mind, is pivotal. When we lived in Texas, in San Antonio, my husband and I really enjoyed the Texas highways because they had turnarounds. And a Texas turnaround, it sounds like a great, it's a country dance, doesn't it? But the Texas turnaround for me was this really cool thing where instead of having to get off an exit because where you wanted to go is all the way on the other side of the highway and you passed it, right? You missed the exit. And then having to go like drive miles out of your way before the next exit to turn back around, which is the way it was in Pennsylvania when we were living there, when we grew up there. But in Texas, they have this cool feature where instead of getting off an exit, you turn to the insidemost lane, and there's a turnaround where you go onto an access road on the other side of the highway, and bam, you get right to where you wanted to go. You just merely turn around when you realize you're not where you want to go. Isn't that a great metaphor for the pivotal power of our minds? Because it's not as though I will never, ever again experience the need for a turnaround, right? Nobody's too spiritual to need a turnaround, to need a pivot of our minds. But to know that I know how to do that turnaround, that I know how to pivot my awareness away from focusing entirely on what's going on with me, and instead pivot my awareness to the great potential within me to respond in a mature way to what is happening. There's the pivot, right? And now you can answer that question about what are the affirmations or thoughts, what is the truth that allows me to lift from my human condition into spiritual authority. You answer that question. Well, so that was the whole idea of all is well in my mind, my divine mind. But all is well in my heart also, and this is where we can talk about feelings, right? In This Life Is Yours, my most recent book, co-authored with my daughter Alicia Widsett, we wrote, "The key to discovering the true you is to appreciate the distinction between I feel and I am. Making this distinction can connect you to the true you, the you that exists beyond your feelings." So the questions are, how can I feel my feelings without letting them take charge of my life? My feelings might have important messages that inform me of my heart's desires and my longings. How can I honor my feelings and allow them healthy expression? Well, some more questions that come to mind when I ask myself that question is, well, what does healthy expression of feelings look like? We know the answer to that question even without thinking too hard about it. We know what unhealthy expression looks like. Really, right? So the big screen, as well as the small screen, depict characters with outsized emotional expression. And they always, don't they always get in trouble for it? I was thinking this morning about The War of the Roses, the film about divorce that left my husband and I stunned, I mean, speechless with its intimate violence. We had the same experience watching Fatal Attraction, about a woman whose affair ended when her lover returned to his marriage and family. These two, you might say, are wildly exaggerated, but they are named entertainment because they are universal. I mean, the makers of these films expect us to laugh at ourselves or to recoil in horror at what we can do to one another, right? They reveal a perfectly human tendency to spin into a frenzy of emotion and then to act on those feelings. And generally, that means acting badly, right? Well, so what messages might my feelings have for me that I might ask and listen for with no intention of acting based upon them? Like, where and when and how would it be safe for me to fully express my feelings, especially my really strong feelings? And when and where and how would it be appropriate for me to indulge my feelings, right? And then for how long? And then what? Well, guys, there's no one right answer to this question. I would say you know. You know from your experience, from your training, from your development of consciousness, you know. The third premise of all is well is all is well in my life. Like, how can I bring my spiritual awareness to unwanted conditions? When times are tough, how am I able to recognize my human needs as well as claim my spiritual power? How do I make that pivot? And what does it mean to believe that all is well with my soul, even in the midst of challenges? And we've had a lot of collective challenges in this past year and a half, have we not? The human family in the United States particularly just seems so fractured into very strong segments, right? And it's affecting families. I mean, my family's also been affected by positioning, you might say, by mindset and positioning. But how do I, in the midst of some terrible conditions, the thousands upon thousands who have died, not only from COVID in the past year and a half, but from the natural disasters that we've experienced, including the recent Hurricane Ida. You know, what I see repeatedly in social media postings, what I hear among friends and neighbors, is that there is some good emerging every time something bad happens, right? We call it look for the good. And when we say look for the good, I don't think we mean to just dismiss the bad, right? The unwanted. I think we mean that there could be unintended blessings, or let's just say unforeseen blessings. And they're not caused by the condition, but in the midst of that condition, something can happen, something can be going on, something can be emerging in consciousness that can be a blessing. You know, how many people have thought, I certainly have, that, you know, COVID didn't lead to being able to meet virtually, but it sure has been a gift. I mean, so many churches report going from local to global because now they're online, right? We found that with Unity Prayer Service that posts every day, every weekday on Facebook, that all of a sudden now we have people tuning in from Nigeria and from South Korea, as well as the United States, all across the country. Whereas before, there were just a little handful of people sitting in the Silent Unity Chapel at Unity Village in Missouri. I mean, this is a blessing that we have become global. And our prayer ministry has gone global as well, as more of our prayer associates are working from home. I, too, am now working from home in Bradenton, Florida, on the Gulf side of Florida. So what a beautiful gift. I didn't expect it. But also all the losses. I mean, there's losses, not just the deaths, but all the other kinds of losses experienced. What I see is the depth of love that is emerging in the midst of deep sorrow. I mean, we know we've loved when we grieve, you know? We know that we have loved. We know love in the state of grief. So can we look for the good? Can we look for the good doers? Can we look for the unforeseen blessings? That's one way that we can bring spiritual awareness to unwanted conditions. Another capacity that I really hear a lot about, and I know I could do more with, is to lean into appreciation. You know, appreciating how even though the adults in our immediate family were vaccinated, when our kids came to visit, COVID came too, and the adults all ended up with symptoms, well, almost all of us, But in the midst of it, my grandbaby remained healthy throughout, and that was our biggest fright that maybe he would catch COVID, and he didn't. Appreciating those small gifts in the midst of really perplexing and upsetting ravage of COVID Delta variant symptoms, right? And similarly, watching for and celebrating even minute improvements day by day. I mean, when I was able to taste and smell again, I mean, that was a rejoicing because that was a strange sensation and experience to not have those senses. To really feel and express appreciation when my neighbors checked in on our well-being. How are you doing? What is there anything we could pick up at the store for you? Those kinds of things, right? And the joy of being able to select an avocado for myself in the grocery store again. I mean, that was a celebration in itself to just go to the produce section, to drive in and park and walk in the store. The small things that we can really that miss, that I can easily miss if I'm not conscious, right? And of course, bringing my spiritual awareness to things also means realizing more of my ineffable nature, my spiritual capacity, right? My divine identity. Realizing, in the moment when I need it, realizing that I have all the spiritual software fully loaded for every capacity, every power I could ever need. And I just pick a power and I go with it. That's possible. That's possible because I am divine. So Elizabeth Lesser, in her book, Broken Open, How Difficult Times Can Help Us Grow, she said, if we can stay awake when our lives are changing, secrets will be revealed to us. Secrets about ourselves, about the nature of life, and about the eternal source of happiness and peace that is always available, always renewable, already within us. Well, friends, my personal invitation to you is for you to participate in the 28th World Day of Prayer starting this Wednesday, September 8th at 7 p.m. Central, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right? You can follow the link that showed up here on your display, or you can just Google 2021 Unity World Day of Prayer, and you'll go right to the page where you can register for the Zoom link. It's free. It allows you access to the Zoom room where we're going to be holding the opening ceremony on Wednesday evening. It's just 1 hour of total inspiring messages and music and prayer together. And there's some sessions on Thursday, starting with the reading of the daily word in the morning, and the daily prayer service, and just before closing at 7 p.m. again, Thursday evening. Just ahead of that, we'll have a beautiful 20-minute session sound healing experience that I really wouldn't want you to miss. The big thing about World Day of Prayer, aside from those activities, those sessions that we're going to have, is your participation somewhere for a certain amount of time that you designate as part of our 24-hour prayer vigil. And for that, I'm going to ask you to log in to unityprayervigil.org. I think it's .org. Let me double check. Unity Prayer Vigil. I should have written that down. Unity Prayer Vigil. Sorry. Vigil.org. And when you log in there, you can enter the Prayer Vigil Chapel virtually, and you can press pray, and you will pray in there along with Silent Unity, because in Silent Unity, somebody is always sitting in prayer 24/7. Someone is in that vigil, whether they're sitting in person in our actual sanctuary or whether they're sitting virtually like you from their homes during their stated time of prayer. but it's always open. It never closes. And you are invited in anytime, but especially during that 24-hour period. Your presence as part of our vigil will make the difference for the hundreds of thousands of prayer intentions that Silent Unity receives every month. You are divine. All is well with your soul. This I know, and this I will hold for you. Now, throughout the whole World Day of Prayer period, you're in my prayer, and I'm so grateful for your time today. All is well with my soul.